the first chapter of the book of Acts as an abstinence for several weeks. Be not drunk with wine where it is excessive, but be filled with the Spirit. I would like to say several things in introducing the message this morning. It amazes me how many people do not think it is necessary that we be filled with the Spirit. When we read the Word of God, holy men of old wrote that they were moved by the Spirit of God. As we read the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit, how can you have the Word revealed to you? The Bible says that He helps our infirmity. That is the Spirit. Our infirmity of prayer. Without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, how can you have the help of the Holy Spirit in prayer? God said, be ye holy, even as I am holy. Every truth, every gift of that holy life is given by the Holy Ghost. How can you live a holy life? How can you live a prayerful life? How can you live a revealing Word of God in your life without the Holy Spirit? I have real questions about that. I believe that God is trying to do a work in the church in these last days. And I believe that He'll do it the same way He's always done it. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, said the Lord. Right here in this church, living in an old fashioned Pentecostal, God sent Holy Ghost through God. There are no alternatives. You cannot find any other ways than God's way. I'm going to tell you, to pray through is work. It's hard. That the enemy fights every way that he can to keep you out of that place of sanctifying prayer, holy prayer. In my message today, I will show you how that God has always intervened. See, when I was a boy in church, we talked about God intervening. I heard adults pray, God intervene. We cried out for the intervention of God. We need an intervention of God. We need something more than just to make us feel good. We need God to come in and take over. We need Him to be the master. I'm going to mention several things here that I think are divine interventions of God that we find in His Word. I've said some of these things, but let me repeat it. The earth, in the beginning, God made the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. God that covered the face of the earth, and God, the Spirit of God, moved upon the face of the deep. I don't know if we fully understand, because we're so guided by our sight and by our experiences. But can you imagine a world where there is no light? Where there is no form, where there everything is void? When we think about a void, we're thinking about the condition where there is no order. There is a situation. And I know you can read between the lines of what I'm saying. There is no order in this world today. Everything that we're faced with is a crisis. Please let me go back to the message I wrote several months ago on America in crisis. I will take that so far as not to say that God is in crisis, but to say that in the beginning, when He made it, and there was no form, and there was no void. I'm asking us today, Where is the form? Where is the order to the church? Every man does what is right in his own eyes. I'm not wanting to do what's right in my eyes. I'm wanting to do what's right in his eyes. And I believe the only way I can follow that and know that is to walk in the Spirit, walk in the Holy Ghost, not live according to my own theories and my own ideas. Can you imagine? And I really don't know how much of this is true now. Do you know what a vanity is? Remember when Solomon said, vanity of vanities. Everything is a vanity. Go look at the word vanity. It means a vacuum. A void. There's no direction. There is no purpose. We that know God, we have a purpose. We have an order. And that order is to be led by the Spirit of God. He said, if you will be led by the Spirit, you will now fulfill the life and the desires of the flesh. Right here in Victory Temple, we need an old-fashioned baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. There's too much vanity. There's too much emptiness. Some people believe it doesn't matter where you go to church. The church is church. I think it matters where you go to church. Not everything that says it's the church is the church. And if we're not careful around here, we're going to wind up with that kind of profanity. We're going to wind up with a form of godliness with no power. If we're not careful right here in this church, we're going to wind up like it was in that church. Where was the church? You have the name that's alive, but you're dead. In those seven churches in Revelation, I'm telling you that we have a life, and that life is the Holy Spirit. But we're going to have to fight the good fight to retain that life. We're going to have to be faithful unto God. We're going to have to make everything be as unto the Lord. Otherwise, we're going to have a void, and we're going to be without a purpose. Look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. And the earth was without form. Who made the earth? God made it. It says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the earth. You know what that act was? That was the Holy Spirit of God intervening. Intervening when there was no form, no void. I tremble to realize that in the last days, every man would do that which was right in his own eyes. Paul to the church, I think of Philippi, whatever. Anoint your eyes with outside, that you may be able to see the ways of God. Anoint your eyes. There is a holy oil of the morning. There is a Holy Spirit of the morning that God will give us that thing. He will open our eyes to that vision. God will lead us in that way. And that's exactly what I'm crying out for. We need that kind of an intervention right here in this church. I've never been in a church that didn't need it. I'm not singling us out, except to say, maybe more than most other places, we know what this is all about. We've been taught the Word of God. We've been led by the Spirit. We have been directed to pray without ceasing. We've had experiences that others could only talk about. We've had something of the realities of God. In the day and in the night, God's been with us. He's directed our path. But we need an intervention. We need an intervention. We need an intervention. I don't remember who it was. I think it was Brother Stephen. Talk with me about the youth camp and what a fantastic job the first man did. But he said one night, the first night of youth was when he had the chains and the bindings and his message as he went through it. But a part of the message was he took his coat off. And on the back, on his back, there were chains. I'm not preaching the man of God's message. But his message was, the whole time I'm preaching to you, we're talking about liberty, freedom, deliverance. You did not see these were on my back, but they were there. Those chains, those bindings, you and I, we can have a form of religion, but still have those bindings when no one can see them. Still be tethered when no one can see them. The one good thing about the workings of God, the Holy Ghost, He knows the ones that are behind your coat. He knows the ones wherever else they may be on your body. We need an individual of God, the Holy Ghost, to where He will shake us. That every chain, every fetter, every binding, everything of the enemy would be destroyed in our lives, that we can walk in the liberty wherein Christ has made us free. Be not drugged with wine where misery says, but be filled with spirit. We need an intervention of God. God made man. I feel God in this place. Don't take it away from the Lord. God made man in His image, in His likeness. Adam, where is the Lord? Who told you you were naked? Something in this life. Something in Adam and Eve's life had been lost. Perfectness had been lost. Innocence had been lost. It's gone. There's going to have to be an intervention of God. Or else we'd all be in hell. We'd all go to hell. You must be born. The Holy Spirit. That divine intervention of God was a recovery. God, by the Holy Spirit, just as He let the Spirit move from the place where He is, He can really make all of it. He said, the Spirit convicts you of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. I beg God, don't take the Spirit away from me. Everything that you're doing in me and for me, you be glorified by the Father and for you. It was your covenant. That's what God is your covenant with the creation and with the redemption. Do you know what the day of Pentecost was? It was an intervention of God. You go and you tell. Don't you leave. Don't you go anywhere until you've been filled with the Spirit. Now I'm not going to try to tell you that there was not fragments, outpourings, workings of the Holy Spirit of God when the day of Pentecost was fully come. That was a divine intervention of God into the life of that church that about 120 people. How is it that we hear these people speaking in our language? It was an intervention of God. And just as we did with creation, with the moving of the Spirit, just as we did with the redemption, born of the Spirit, the same thing with Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was spoken. You may not understand what I'm telling you. You may not understand what I'm telling you, but please try to hear my message. Not with your hearing, with your ear, but with your spirit. What is God trying to say to me? I know I make it clear with these things. But my brother, in the people, said with me, right at that moment, so he was shaking. He came to me and told me what God was going to do to him in this church. My daughter, what God was going to do. You may take that as the musings of an old man, or the excitement of a young lady. There's two of God still speaks. God still goes on hearing dreams. Young men still see visions. And God still pulls out His Spirit on handmaidens. That's the cry of my heart. That's the cry of my spirit to me. God, you're going to have one more intervention, and that's going to be when Christ comes up here. This Lord is in the middle. So many things are in us. But you're listening to a man today that's going to be. And He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last Sunday, we turned this morning service into a prayer meeting. I mean, after the message. I want to do that again today. I want God to intervene for me in the meeting. I could sit here, I could call the name, and pray with God together. And the Lord, I was sitting here, and you people took the Lord and prayed in the Holy Spirit. And that's the Lord. Be healed. We've had a day over the last 7 days for us to serve you from the Lord. How many times have I spread the Lord? These messages are out. That's Brother Walter. I said, Brother Walter, would you pray that when God takes you out of here, He will let your mantle fall on me? He said, Sunday, I want that way. He's going to have to pray to watch His prayer. And we begin to go through these things. My mother died at 50 years old. She was an intercessor. I wish I would have asked her mom. When you slip out of here, would you ask God to let that one through the necessity of prayer come on me? I'm sure it would be pretty much the same thing. It doesn't work that way. It's not a quick fix. You don't have to pray. You don't have to pray. You don't have to pray. I want to pray. I want the Holy Ghost to anoint me to pray. I want you to minister with an old fashioned heavenly intervention of God Almighty, not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Would you stand with me?